Turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter number 16. We're going to be looking at that tonight. Brother Gene Anderson is going to come with a special music.
Consider how the world thy hands have made. I see the storm, I hear the rolling thunder. I part throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Thank you, Brother Gene. I enjoy going to we go preaching at the nursing home every month, and I enjoy spending some time with Brother Gene and seeing the heart that he has for those folks. And I appreciate that. I enjoy hearing Brother Anderson sing. We're in Deuteronomy chapter number 16, but before we get there, I have some lame Thanksgiving jokes for you tonight. So, now just get ready for this. All right, here we go. What kind of cars would pilgrims drive today? Plymouth. I know, this is really, these are that bad. In fact, that's probably one of the best. Who is not hungry at Thanksgiving, Brother Nemeth? The turkey, because he's already stuffed. Oh man, yeah, there we go. Did you hear about the turkey that evaded the Indian? It had an arrow escape. Oh. I'm sorry. I figured it went over your heads, but no, it didn't. What did the turkey say to the turkey hunter? Quack, quack, quack. What do you call the dirt on a pilgrim's hands? Pilgrime. What is the smallest unit of measurement in the pilgrim cookbook? Pilgram. What kind of face does a pilgrim make when he's in pain? Pilgrimace, of course. What do you call a pilgrim's vocabulary, Miss Thomason? Pilgrammer, of course, man. All right, last one. What smells the best? That's the biggest amen I'm going to get tonight, I think. What smells the best at Thanksgiving dinner? Your nose. All right, okay. We're done with that. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. It can only go up from there, right? Deuteronomy chapter number 16, verse number 21. Thou shalt not plant thee a grove of any trees near unto the altar of the Lord thy God, which thou shalt make thee. We're going to talk just a little bit tonight. I don't have a Thanksgiving sermon per se, but just something that hopefully will be a help and a blessing to you and a challenge to you tonight. In the Bible times, an altar that was to a false god or to Baal, that was the kind of altar that was supposed to have a grove, or they were supposed to have trees that were planted around that kind of altar. But an altar or a Jewish altar, that was an altar that was not supposed to have trees around that. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in just a little bit. We're going to talk to tree or not to tree. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd please be at the service tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd please be with all of those who are sick. I think of our preacher. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd help them to feel better. Lord, I pray, Lord, that something that is said tonight would be an encouragement. That something that is said tonight would challenge somebody. And I pray, Lord, that you please help us tonight as we just look at some Bible verses. In your name we pray. Amen. We're going to talk tonight about altars. The Bible makes mention of altars many times. In fact, in the Bible, according to the research that I saw, the term is used 378 times. Altar. Now, that's a lot of times for a word to be used. And 378. Now, we probably know some about altars, but we're going to look at them just a little bit more in depth tonight. The Bible mentions mainly three different types of altars. The first altar is the altar of burnt offerings in the tabernacle that was called the brazen altar. The next is an altar of incense. And then the last is an altar of remembrance. What we're going to do is we're going to break down, we're going to look at each of those altars individually, and then I'm going to apply it to us tonight at the end. The first one that we're looking at is an altar of burnt offerings. Turn over, we're going to flip quite a bit in our Bibles. Turn over to Exodus chapter number 40, and I'm looking there at verse number 10. Exodus chapter number 40, this is talking about the altar of burnt offerings. Exodus chapter number 40, it says in verse number 10, "And thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offering in all his vessels, and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy." This is probably the most famous. This is an altar where something was to be burnt on it. Typically, we think of an animal that was sacrificed on this. Leviticus chapters 1 through 6 talks about the five basic sacrifices that there were. Leviticus 1 talks about a burnt sacrifice, and that burnt sacrifice was showing surrender or dedication. Leviticus chapter number 2 talks about meat offerings, which is just to a type of worship. And this is one that's kind of confusing to some because it doesn't really have to do with meat per se. But in the Bible, the term meat sometimes refers to a solid food. And if you want to look that up, it talks about it in Genesis chapter number 1, verse 30. But usually in the meat offering, it would be a type of grain that would be powder, that would be ground down into a flour, and then that would be on that altar. They put that on the altar with some oil and some frankincense, but that was to a type of worship. Leviticus chapter number 3 talks about a peace offering, and that was an offering burnt on an altar that basically they would take an animal, they would burn it on an altar, and then whatever was left over, they would divide that between the priest and the worshiper, and that was just basically to symbolize fellowship. Of course, Baptists, we can all understand that, because the best times of fellowship that we have is when we have a potluck dinner or something over there, and we're eating together and we're having a time of fellowship, and that was a peace offering. Leviticus chapter number 4 talks about a sin offering. Leviticus chapter number 5 and 6 talk about a trespass offering. Now, in these different offerings that there were, the first three offerings were optional, or they were done voluntarily. The second two offerings, they were mandatory. Let me remind you what those are: the sin offering and the trespass offering. And the reason why that is because we all sin. We all make mistakes. We all do stuff that we shouldn't do. And because of that, we all have to, they would all have to do that at some point in time. And so those were mandatory. Because of their sin, they had broken the fellowship that they had with God, with an almighty God. And the only way to restore that fellowship was to pay the penalty of that sin. Now, what is that penalty? Well, the wages of sin is death. The only payment was the death of an innocent creature. That was the only payment in order to pay for that sin. Now you say, well, Brother Mick, why don't we do that anymore? Why don't we have an altar here and we all bring in, animals? And why don't we bring in, cows and goats? Well, a goat has been brought in here, but that's a story for later on. But why don't we do that anymore? Well, because Hebrews chapter number 10 tells us why. Hebrews chapter number 10, flip over there real quick with me. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10, it says in verse number 9, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we are all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Hey, we don't have to do that because the perfect sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, came. And that was Jesus Christ. He came as the ultimate sacrifice. Hey, but what I want us to notice here is this altar here, this was a place of sacrifice. This was a place of maybe when somebody wanted a relationship that was better or a fellowship with God that was better. It was a place where somebody would sacrifice something in order to attain that better fellowship with God. In order to get closer to Him, they would have to give something up, whether it was a bird or a goat or a sheep or an oxen or flour or something. They would give something up in order to get closer to God. This first altar is an altar of sacrifice. The next altar that we see is in Exodus chapter number 30. Turn over there, please. Told you we'd be turning a lot. Exodus chapter number 30. We read here about an altar of incense. An altar of incense. Exodus chapter number 30, it says in verse number 1. We'll read the first part of that. "And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon." Look down to verse number 7. "And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it. A perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations." The next thing, the next altar that we see is an altar of incense. An altar of incense. This was an altar that was also in the tabernacle. This altar was in the holy place. The high priest was to continually burn incense to the Lord. Every morning and every evening, he was supposed to come and take his bundle of spices, and he was supposed to put that on the fire, and that was supposed to burn, and then he was going to continually allow that to burn throughout the remainder of the day or throughout the remainder of the night. There was a continual incense that was supposed to be. And that incense was supposed to waft up to God, and God was to smell that. And it was a sweet smell unto God. And that was the altar of incense. Floating from earth to heaven is a picture of a couple of things. The first thing that it's a picture of is Jesus Christ as our interceder. Jesus Christ, we cannot come into direct contact with God. We cannot talk to Him because of our sin. He can't have anything. But Jesus Christ is our interceder for us. It says in Romans 8:34, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who is making intercession for us." To intercede means to act or interpose in behalf of someone in difficulty or trouble. And Jesus Christ does that for us to God. He comes on our behalf to God. He comes and he's always interceding for us. It's the next definition of intercede is to attempt to reconcile differences between two people or groups. And Jesus is interceding for us. He's the in-between, the go-between between us and God. He is that interceder. And that is what that altar of incense is a picture of. is a picture of Jesus as our interceder, and He is ever interceding to the Father for His children. Yes, He's ever interceding to the Father for His own. Through Him, you can reach the Father, so bring Him all your heavy burdens. Yes, for you, He's interceding, so come boldly to the throne. He reaches to God when we couldn't. The altar of incense is also a picture of our prayer. So it's a picture of Jesus Christ as our interceder, but it's also a picture of our prayer. Psalm 141, verse number 2, it says, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense." I can't talk face to face to God. I can't talk face to face to my Savior. Someday I'll be able to. I'll be able to see Him face to face, and we'll be able to talk, but I can't do that right now. I can't get out my cell phone, and I can't call 1-800, get Jesus, or I can't call a number like that and get Him on the phone. I can't talk to Him like that. I can't reach Him on my cell phone. I can't pick up a phone, a landline, and try and get in contact Him with Him right now. In fact, it's virtually impossible to use your cell phone above 10,000 feet? It's impossible. But I know something that can reach farther than 10,000 feet. It can reach so far, it reaches into the third heaven. And it reaches to the ears of our Heavenly Father. And that is prayer. Our prayers reach up to heaven. And just like that, the priest comes in and he's lighting that incense. And that incense is floating up and it's a sweet smell to God. Our prayers, when we pray and we're calling out to God, it's a sweet smell to Him. A prayer maybe of praise, and we're just praising Him for all that He's done. Or maybe a prayer of thanksgiving, thanking Him. Hey, this is a great time to think about that, isn't that? A great time for us to maybe say some prayers to God and make sure that we talk to Him and thank Him for all that He's done for us. Look, I understand that our country has a lot of problems, but we still live in a great country. We go to a great church. The Lord has blessed us in so many different ways. We can talk to Him. We can reach Him through prayer, in a prayer of supplication or requesting something from Him. We can intercede just as Jesus Christ intercedes for us. We can intercede for somebody else, maybe a wayward child. But it's a picture of that. That's a sweet, sweet smell to Him. That altar of incense. The third altar that we see is an altar of remembrance. Turn over to Joshua chapter number 4. Joshua chapter number 4. The children of Israel, they're about to go into the promised land. They're about to go and take the possession that God had given them. They're about to go in, and God had promised them. They missed out on it. They chose that they didn't want to do that 40 years before that. But now they're finally going in, and they're finally going into the promised land that God had given them. They're finally going to do that. And so the priests, they take the Ark of the Covenant, and they're walking across, going across the Jordan River. And just like with the Red Sea, the priests walk across, and when they step into the Jordan River, the river dries up. And the children of Israel walk across on dry ground. But that wasn't it. In Joshua chapter number 4, it says in verse number 3, "And command ye them, saying, Take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night." Look over at verse number 19. "And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land." God had done something amazing for us. Verse 23, "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up from before us till we are gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. They were supposed to build this altar, and this altar wasn't to put incense on. This altar wasn't to burn a sacrifice on. This altar was just an altar. They piled these stones up, and it was just an altar of remembrance. Whenever their kids would walk by, whenever maybe dad was walking by, they could say, hey, you see that pile of stones? Let me tell you what God did right there. Hey, let me tell you about how God had promised us this land for generations and generations and generations. But the day that we walked through and God gave us that promised land, that's the memorial right there. I know it happened because I see that memorial. And you can tell your kids, and they can tell their kids, because that memorial is there as a remembrance of what God did for us. This isn't the only time in the Bible that God talks about an altar of remembrance. Genesis chapter number 28, verses 10 through 19, talks about when God promised He would always be with Jacob, and then He built an altar. Genesis 33, verse number 22, when God rescued Jacob from Esau. And then again, he built another altar in that place in Genesis 35. Exodus 17, verses 8 through 16, when God defeated the Amalekites. Exodus 24, verse number 4, when God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. These were times when God did something for these people, and they didn't want to forget it. And so God didn't want them to forget it. And so God said, build an altar so you won't forget it, and build an altar so you can tell your generations, and they can see that, and they can remember what God did. It's an altar of remembrance. This altar was a place of remembering. Now, in our churches today, we don't use altars the same way that they did. We don't bring those animals to the altar, and we don't sacrifice the animals here. We don't try and atone for our sins with the animals, but we do have an altar. We do still have an altar, and when the preacher preaches, God speaks to our hearts, we are to use the altar as well. The altar is a place of sacrifice. It's a place when I realize that there's something in between me and God, and I cannot have the fellowship like I need to until I get that out of there. Until I give that up, until I sacrifice something, I can't have the relationship like I should. It happens all the time. Maybe something creeps into our lives. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's something that's not even a sin, but it's something that's keeping us back from having a better walk with Him or keeping us from doing more for Him. It's something, but maybe the preacher preaches and preacher's been on a great series the last several Sunday nights, and he's been talking about stuff. And sometimes he might step on our toes, and he might talk about something that you know what? We realize, you know what? I got to give something up. Every single one of us, I might have to give something up. The altar is a place of sacrifice. The people didn't bring their animals to the altar, burn them up, and say, "All right, well, can I get those ashes back? Come on, let me get those ashes back. I want to take that back home with me." They didn't do that. It was there. It was gone. They left it. When we come to the altar, we're sacrificing something. God speaks to our heart. We need to give something up. Sacrifice it. Leave it there. Ask God to help you with that. My preacher growing up, Pastor Keith Gomez, he used to tell the story all the time. When he got saved, one of the hardest things to get rid of was the habit that he had of smoking. And the preacher would preach and preach and preach, and he would be under so much conviction. He would come down to the altar and he would pray, "Oh God, please help me. I need to give this up. I need to quit smoking. I know it's wrong. I need to stop it." And as he was praying, as he was calling out to God, his cigarettes would fall out of his shirt pocket. And then the preacher would say, "Well, praise the Lord, somebody's given up smoking tonight." And he said, at that point, I couldn't reach out and grab him and put it back in, so I had to go back and I had to go buy some more then later. And you know, it didn't happen right away, but eventually, there was an altar where he knelt and he gave it up for good. It was an altar of sacrifice where he gave up. We get things that God speaks to our heart. You know, I had a... My youth pastor growing up used to tell us, there's two reasons why we should come to the altar: because God speaks to our heart, and because God doesn't speak to us. You know, if God never convicts us about sin, is our conscience being seared with a hot iron? It's a place of sacrifice. It's a place of prayer. Sometimes we don't have to come and we don't have to oh Lord, help me, please, I gotta stop this gross, horrible sin. Sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it's just a place of fellowship with God. Sometimes it's a place of praise over what God has done for us. Thanksgiving over what He has given us, over what He's done. It's just a place where we can just fellowship with God a little bit. Maybe our heart is overflowing with what God's doing. Maybe we're getting excited about how God is working and what we're seeing happening. Come forward and get to the altar, because this is a place of prayer. It's a place of sacrifice, but it's a place of prayer, just talking to God and just spending some time with Him. It's a place of remembering. I can take you to the altars all over. Or I could take you to that spot and I could say, something happened right there. I can take you to Dwight, Illinois. I can take you to the altar where I knelt and I realized that I was a sinner. I could take you to that spot right now because I remember that. I can take you to a place over in Mount Salem Revival Grounds, to an altar where I gave God my life. I said, God, whatever you want, you can have it. I can take you to that place because it's an altar of remembrance. I can take you to Elgin, Illinois, to the place where I just gave up running from God and I got right with Him. I can take you to Cedar River Baptist Camp, as we saw tonight. I can take you to altars, to an altar of a youth conference. I can take you to an altar of another church. I can take you to altars here and there and there. And I can show you, this is what happened to God. This is what God did in my life. And you know what someday I can do? I can take my sons and I can bring them and I say, come on boys, come here. Let me show you. Right there, that's where Daddy Nelson, he got saved. That's where Daddy got right with God. Hey, that's where Daddy gave his life to God. That's a place where I can remember what God did for me, and I can tell my boys, and someday maybe they can tell their kids. But you know what? We need to have a place where we remember what God did for us. It's a place of remembrance. We can remember what God has done. I remember hearing a man say, many of the decisions that we just make in our pews, they tend to just stay in the pews. You know, there's something about coming to the altar. The Bible, I'm going to go quickly because I know I'm running out of time. The Bible also talks about how not to have altars. The Bible says that the Israelites were forbidden to plant groves or trees around their altars. You know, when you plant trees or when there's a grove or there's just a bunch of trees grown up, you know, it's kind of hard to get to the altar. It's kind of hard to get there. You know, when you got trees growing up and they're coming up, you know, you can kind of do it in secret. They could have sacrificed to God in privacy, maybe in their own homes, but that's not what God wanted. I don't need to come forward, Brother Mick. Are you building trees around your altar? Are you building trees to keep yourself from the altar? You know, there's something about coming to the altar that hurts our pride. You know, it's not for a show. It's not so anybody can see it or anything. There's something about when we yield to the Holy Spirit, we step out of that aisle, and something in the back of your head, maybe I'm the only one that feels like this, but something in the back of your head, well, I wonder what they're thinking about me. Boy, the preacher preached on this. I bet they think that. You know, it hurts the pride when we come forward and we kneel on that altar. The Israelites were forbidden to plant groves or trees around their altars. The Israelites were forbidden to build altars on roofs or high places. The altar's not for show. Well, you know, here I am. I'm coming down again. Here I am. Boy, the Lord just speaks to me every time. It's not about just coming for a show either. You know, there's got to be a balance any time. The altar is for you and for God. You say, well, you know, I don't do it because I don't come down to the altar because it's only between me and God. You're right. It should just be between you and God. But sometimes defeating the pride and coming down to the altar is something that we need to have done. The altars for the wrong reasons were to be destroyed. The altar was not to be taken lightly. For sake of time, I won't turn there, but Matthew 23, verses 18 and 19 talks about that. Taking the altar lightly. When we come to the altar, we sacrifice on the altar, and then we go back on it. Or we come and we just take it lightly. We ignore it. God hates that. God says, don't take it lightly. This altar is a place of sacrifice. This altar is a place of prayer. This altar is a place of remembrance. When God speaks to your heart, rip those trees out of there. Get to the altar. I'm encouraging us because our preacher has been preaching some incredible messages. And I know he's been speaking to my heart. If I don't come down to the altar and I don't get it right, maybe I miss out on something that'll change my life. Maybe I'll miss out on that spot where I need to have an altar of remembrance. And if I don't come down and I don't get that taken care of, I miss out on it. Don't plant any trees around your altars. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, that you allow us to have fellowship with you. And Lord, that you speak to us. And you convict us and you show us the things that we need to give up. Lord, the things that are holding us back from having a good fellowship, a good relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you please help us when you talk to us and you convict us and you speak to us, that we would get that out of there. We'd come down and we'd make this altar a place of sacrifice. Lord, I pray that you please help us to remember that this is a place that we can just come and we can pray and we can spend time with you. And Lord, help us to set up altars of remembrance where we make those decisions. Lord, those decisions that change our lives, help us to remember what was done. Every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around. I think it's majority a home crowd, but is there anybody in here that says, Brother Mick, I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die? I don't know that, but I'd like to know that. Just slip your hand up. Say, that's me, Brother Mick. I don't know that, but I'd like to know that. Just put your hand up. I won't embarrass you, but somebody can show you that. The piano's going to play in just a little bit. Why don't you just think about, are we coming to the altar as much as we should? Or have we grown trees? I know this isn't much of a message to pull people to the altar or anything like that, but maybe we need to just look at our lives and see if we've allowed some trees to grow up and preventing us from coming forward when the Holy Spirit speaks through our pastor. As the piano plays, let's all stand if you need to come.